You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Hey, Simo, MI6 are looking for brand new spies. You two could be James Bond.
There's only one James Bond.
Well, you could be James Bond's offsider,
you've got
Frank.
You've got the same initials of all of the super spies.
I do, actually.
Yeah, you got Jason Bourne.
Yes, so my last name starts with a B, so...
Jack Bauer, James Bond, Jack Burns.
Not Tom Cruise, though.
TC.
Whatever it is. Ethan, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. Everyone just knows he's Tom Cruise.
Yes. Oh, that's Tom.
There he is.
I know, but similar, yeah, James Bond, MI6, they are... This feels like it's a joke, but it's supposedly and apparently legit.
Okay.
MI6 have launched a recruitment drive with a series of magazine adverts.
Okay.
Where they are looking for part-time spies.
Part-time spies.
I've got the advertisement here.
Yep.
The advertisement is headlined, "Tell me a secret. The secret intelligence seeks individuals with a diverse set of skills and life experiences for part-time and consulting roles to enhance our core mission."
Okay.
It continues, "We will work in challenging and volatile environments in real world and online with a focus on national security, economic well-being, and the prevalation or detection of serious crime."
Whoa.
They've said that they are looking to recruit people across all society, including people with disabilities.
Yeah.
And they are wanting to make the agency more attractive as a workplace.
Okay, interesting.
Simo.
Yep.
Part-time spy.
Yep.
Is that a yes to go do it, or?
Couch by day, spy by night.
So is that a yes? So
yeah,
you're gonna?
I'd be keen.
Well, I mean, you've already messed it up because you can't tell people you're a spy.
Do you need to be British?
It's unclear. They're looking at, I think it's British nationals and others as well. hundreds of people from the UK and overseas. So
my favourite thing about the British government as well is like during the Cold War. So I read a book on the beginnings of MI5.
Mm-hmm.
So MI5 was never a thing. It was just MI6.
Mm.
And so this guy was saying, yeah, I'm the director of MI5. And everyone's like, MI5 doesn't exist. And he's like, exactly. It's because that's why they have two branches of the of that kind of secret government stuff.
Mm.
So it's probably at MI2 by now. They just keep counting up.
I don't know how any of that stuff works. But, so, Simo, you're keen for a spy?
Hell yeah, I'd be into that. So does it say if you're working MI6, MI5, who are you working
MI6.
For? Oh, okay, right. Yep.
Mm.
Cool.
Well, Simo, I feel that if you do become a spy, probably best not to go around telling people.
Yes, that's fair.
You know, even if you do use it as like a chat-up line at a bar or something like that.
It's a double bluff, though.
But...
If he was a spy, he wouldn't be telling me he's a spy.
Oh, so what do you say? Who would least expect to be a spy? The person going around telling everyone that they're a spy? I see.
That's always been open honesty, because then people have to decide for themselves.
I see.
No one would ever believe I was a spy, even if I told you.
See, now I'm thinking you might be a spy.
That's how it works.
I know.
We should play poker. They do that in that James Bond film. Play a lot of poker.
I'm sure there's a lot of poker played in many. The new James Bond film that's coming out later this year, it's like 3 hours long. I think maybe 2.5 hours of that is just James Bond at a poker tournament with Shane Warne.
Do you know how poker works?
Yeah.
Okay, what about, have you shot a gun?
No.
Oh, I've shot a gun, so I've got one over here.
Oh, you're a spy! You're a spy!
You've never shot a gun?
No!
Okay, right, well there you go. You'd be a terrible spy.
Well, hopefully I won't have to shoot guns when I'm a spy.
Ah, dear. Anyway, looking forward to your application. I'll read yours, you read mine. We'll find out how we go.
And I am actually tempted to put my application in just to kind of... what qualifications do you have? Oh, none, really?
You live close to Canberra, though, so you would constitute not a flight risk, but you would be some kind of risk to government, I assume, if anyone's listening to this in Canberra.
I'm a risk to government, apparently.
Yep, that's it. Yep. You're going to get a knock on your door this afternoon.
Yeah, you're going to get a knock on the door. So you're a risk to government. I don't even know who's in government at the moment.
It's like, do you live close to Canberra, your initials are JB, and you've applied to be a spy. Come with us, please.
All right, you're definitely a spy. Now you're arresting me.
Simo and Jordan.
Time for a love chat.
Love a good love chat.
And strange happenings at weddings, Jordan. You've been part of them.
What kind of strange happening? Like ghosts at weddings? Is that what we're talking?
No, just odd scenarios.
Okay.
Strange things go on. Like, for instance, you got married at a wedding, right?
Well, that's not uncommon to happen at a wedding.
Yeah, but you all of a sudden had a girlfriend that you'd met 20 minutes earlier, right?
Yes, yeah, so I didn't actually get married.
Right, okay.
No, but the story was, so it was, I was in a wedding in
Cambodia?
Yeah, Cambodia, a couple of years ago.
Hmm.
And then just one of the guests just kind of grabbed me and started taking photos kind of out the front, and then I got screenshots from like someone else who was friends with this girl a couple of days later saying that she had done the caption, love of my life. so sad to see you go back to Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
Goodbye, my love. And I'm kind of like looking at the screenshot and go, what's your name? I don't even know you.
Don't even know who that is.
Yeah.
Ah, dear.
But yeah, me and her have lost contact since.
Well, it's only a matter of time till things rekindle. Hold out hope, Jordan. It's never over.
I literally don't know her name.
So this wedding strange occurrence, it involves a groom and a bride.
Okay.
And then a gentleman has been welcomed to the front of the congregation during the ceremony.
The celebrant?
Nope.
Okay.
It is a gentleman that was her ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
And she wanted to get a last hug from him before she got married. So the footage of it has been viewed over 5 million times around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing you now, by the way.
Yeah, I can see the footage of your screen. There's the bride and groom and the husband comes in. The groom doesn't necessarily look thrilled, it has to be said, about the situation. as the wife gets a hug from the ex, and now the groom is hugging the ex very awkwardly.
So it's strange happenings. A groom struggled to hide his dismay there. He's shaking his head and doing a bit of a cringe, as you would.
Yeah, that's certainly a bit like they're literally at the altar about to do the I do's and all that sort of stuff,
and the ex-boyfriend's rolled in.
I mean that's a bit, I don't know how I'd feel about that.
Read the room, right?
I know, it's like, I mean, it's great that you get along with your ex and all that sort of stuff, but maybe could we just do that the day before?
Read the room. Take a look around. What room is this? Oh, is this a wedding?
Oh, this is a church. Everyone's in suits.
Oh, shivers. Stuff that one up. But, it's scenarios like that always happen at weddings, don't they? Not to that extent, but
I mean, that's quite an extreme extent.
Yeah, recently, speeches are also one, like when speeches happen, something awkward always happens.
Mm.
Sometimes they deliver, sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I was at one relatively recently where the mother and the father of the groom were no longer together.
Okay.
Right? So love is dead there, but it's a wedding. COVID caused one of the parents not to be there, right?
Oh,
across
I see.
Borders
okay.
and stuff.
Mm.
So what ended up happening is, so we had to dial them in through the PA system, like for a phone call speech.
Okay.
And because she couldn't read the room and she didn't care and she wasn't going to have to confront anyone later on, just truth bombs, like coming through the speakers with everyone. Everyone's got beers in hand trying to enjoy themselves.
Mm.
And the in-law, the mother, is just absolutely ripping into her ex-husband at her son's wedding.
Oh.
How good?
Well, I mean, good for an innocent bystander.
Yeah, it was cringe, man.
For one of the parties involved, the only way that could have been more awkward is if the ex-partner of one of them came up and gave them a hug. It's, oh, sorry, just before we do the rings and the I do's and all that sort of stuff, this is my ex.
Well, it was funny because the groom's dad spoke a lot about his ex, his son's ex in his speech. It was just a train wreck.
Was everyone doing the speeches, like, drunk or something?
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Now, Simo, back in secondary school, high school.
Yes.
What subjects? Did you do, like, a lot of English?
Drama studies, English studies, psychology, PE was in there. Four. There's fifth, isn't there?
Yeah, I think I don't know.
Shivers.
I can't remember mine either. But one that I do remember is I did English as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't remember English back in my school days being anywhere as fun as what has taken place at the Melinda State School in Queensland.
I don't remember my English at all from high school because I skipped it a lot of the time.
Fair enough.
I was like, I already speak it. What are we doing here?
Also, mate, up in this Queensland high school, the teacher decided that it would be a good idea for students studying journalism to kind of fake a meteorite landing.
Oh, I think I saw this.
So got this kind of meteorite. It's a fake meteorite, but got this. It's about the size of sort of a beach ball and kind of put it out in the school grounds, complete with like fake smoke around it to make it look like it's just fallen from the sky.
The teachers got a bit excited with dry ice, haven't they?
And kind of like dug out so it kind of looked like it landed and then rolled along a little bit. So kind of dug out a little path where it had gone.
Wow.
And kind of taped it, kind of got the police tape and all that sort of stuff around it.
Mm.
Set that up.
Yeah.
And then the journalism students had to go and report on it as if that had just happened for real.
If an actual journalist was reporting on that, that's a career maker, because they are journalists are the salt of the earth, Jordan.
If you say so.
They're like, they'll get, you know, they're all about being first, a lot of the journos. So if there was an act, if there was like, I would have been not surprised if an actual journo tried to steal the scoop from the kids.
Well, Simo, you kind of sort of on the right path.
Did that happen?
Well, Simo, well, let's, okay, so... So they've set up this thing, all the kids are doing their journalism, kind of, there's a couple that kind of pretend that they were witnesses for it.
Yeah.
So they get interviewed. And as part, a very important part of journalism is photography.
Yep.
Now various photos were taken in the age of social media.
Right, okay.
It's easy for those photos to get out.
Yep.
Some people didn't read the caption attached with the photo.
Oh, dear.
And believed that this was a real meteorite that hit this school in Queensland.
I did see this. Of all places as well.
Mm.
Hilarious.
I mean, to be fair, the teacher has done a brilliant job. I was looking at it and I'm going, that's a fake one? What?
Well, they're very passionate about their job.
Oh, God, this would have taken, like, hours to set up.
Was it paper mache?
It's unclear what it was made out of, but it looks proper legit.
Yeah.
And Simo, it's got, it's fooled, it kind of fooled a lot of people. It's gone all the way to NASA.
No.
They asked the secondary school for a report after they saw the pictures of the meteorite crash.
That's so funny.
This school teacher has just kind of fooled NASA.
Yeah. Geez, they need funding, don't they, NASA, if that's what they're doing. If they're getting all of their reports from secondary school, year sixes and sevens.
Got a quote from the principal of the school. It says, we've had all sorts of inquiries from all around the world, including NASA, who asked us to make a report to the Kennedy Space Center.
Hilarious. Ah, well.
My English class was nowhere near as fun as this. I remember I had to read Shakespeare. That's so boring.
It's very true, actually. I wouldn't have been skipping English if this,
I know,
if this kind of activity was going on.
I wouldn't have been skipping English, and I didn't because I was a good student, unlike you.
Do you want to know the hilarious thing about all that is I think I went to 8 English classes for that year, and then I got an English degree. went to uni. I was like, you know what I'm going to study?
Yeah, that thing that I've just spent all year avoiding.
Simo and Jordan.
And talking about naming your children, well, it's not something you or I have to worry about just yet, but the in-laws are involved, the grandfathers, the nanas of the world.
Look, it's a very important thing. You've got to, because you can't really change. I mean, I know legally you can change it, but you can't. You've got to kind of get it right.
Have you got a middle one that had to be decided upon by?
Do you mean a middle name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and was it one that has, like, family history? A lot of that goes on in myself and my three brothers.
Yeah, my middle name's James. I got no idea.
Haven't done the research.
No, it might be. I'll get around to looking into that at some point.
Okay, ancestry.com, right?
Yeah.
So, how about this for naming things? A teacher has taken to the interwebs to let everyone know about some of the names that she's come across through her years of roll calling.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Since been viewed 2.8 million times, and this is what we've got. I'll do my favourite one last.
Okay.
So, one in particular, his last name is Case, and his first name was Justin.
Oh.
Just in case.
That's a good one.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The next one is, the last name is Turner. Would you like to take a guess?
Turner.
Yeah.
Is the first name Slow?
No, Paige.
Oh, Paige.
So you got Paige Turner and Justin Case. They're both in the class.
I reckon that these names are the dad kind of going, yeah, why don't we go with Paige? Yeah. And the wife going, oh, Paige is such a beautiful name, yes. And the husband going, can't believe I got away with that.
But there's another one here where the last name was Leah, L-E-E-R.
First name King.
No, that would have been good. This one's better. The daughter's name is Crystal Shander.
Crystal Chandelier. Are these like, real?
Yeah, they're real, apparently. So it's like you're just asking your kid to have, run-ins in the schoolyard, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But now for the very best, Jordan. This has got to be, as the French says, it's the fiesta de résistance.
I don't know. Crystal Chandelier was pretty good.
No, this one's better. See if you can work it out. Okay. On the roll, she's looked down the list,
mm-hmm.
and the name that's on the roll call is H-I-J-K-M-N-O.
H-I-J-K-N-M-O.
M-N-O.
No, I got no.
Any ideas on how to pronounce it?
Okay, so spell it again.
H.
Yeah.
I.
Yeah.
J.
Yeah.
K.
Yeah.
M.
Mm.
N. O.
Hikejimo.
Nope. How you pronounce it is Noel. Because there's no L in there. Because normally it's H-I-J-K-L-M-N, obviously in the alphabet.
Yeah.
But on the roll, it's H-I-J-K-M-N-O. The L was missing and the kid's name is Noel.
I mean, that's... Yeah.
That's like, what are you doing?
I know. That's... that kid is going to have to explain that every single day.
Yeah.
From their entire life. It's fun as a joke.
Yeah.
But every single... You go for a job interview, it's like, oh, Noel, blah, blah, blah.
But you think you had it hard.
Mm.
Because obviously your name
is
Bocock.
Yes.
So obviously you did have it hard and it was difficult for you.
Probably not the best word to use.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Hey Simo, are you familiar with the story of Dr. Doolittle?
Yeah, a little bit. He can talk to animals, can't he?
Yes.
Hmm.
So there was the movie, I think it was last year, with Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
Which was a bit rubbish. But then there was the movies with Eddie Murphy back in the late 90s, early 2000s, which are classics.
Yeah, really odd decision there from RDJ. He decided he wanted to do a Welsh accent.
I haven't seen it. Did he really?
Yeah, he decided to do a Welsh accent for that one.
Actually, sorry, quick side note. Have you seen that new one, Pixie Out? Alec Baldwin's doing I think it's a Welsh accent.
Why?
It's a good accent, but it looks kind of, seeing his face and having that voice comes out, it feels weird.
Mm.
Anyway, but back to Dr. Doolittle.
Yep.
So before it was movies, it was a book. Do you know when the book was written, like roughly?
Oh.
I don't expect an exact date. I don't expect you to go, March the 3rd on this year.
1896.
To be honest with you, I don't know when it was written.
Okay.
But it was quite a while ago.
Mm, I feel like it was early. Was it British? It's British, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
I think that's where they've taken that idea from, yeah.
Well, Simo, the reason I bring up that is because a copy of Dr. Doolittle was returned to a Canadian library a couple of days ago.
Wow.
82 years overdue.
Hot damn.
Yes.
Maybe they were trying to pick up a few skills.
I mean, I feel if you haven't got them after 81 years, probably not going to happen.
82 is the charm.
the person who returned the book has remained anonymous, but yeah. They have said, we were putting a fan up in our bathroom, so we had to cut a hole through the roof.
What?
And while we were up in the attic, we found a bunch of old books.
That's really weird.
So that's where the book had just been stored up in the attic for 80-odd years.
What other books were in there? Is there any list?
We don't have a list, but it says that the copy of Dr. Doolittle stood out because of its markings, like as a stamp on it that said it was for the library.
Right.
And all the rest were not library books.
So how's that happen? Someone's stocking and sneaking away books in the roof of the toilet?
I don't know. I guess maybe they just thought, oh, well, we're not going to use these. We'll just pop it up in the attic and out of sight, out of mind, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, they're trying to pick up a few. Like, if you're using Dr. Doolittle as a handbook, there's only one thing you're learning to do. Talk to animals.
And hate's going to break it to you. It's not going to happen.
Well, if you wanted and needed to talk to animals, Canada's probably the place because they've got those big bears and they eat you.
Would you really want to talk to one of them apart from saying, please don't eat me and go away?
That's what I mean. Like, out of all of the animals to talk to, the one that you would need to, the bear.
Oh, yeah, no, okay, I see your point.
Like, talking to sharks is more difficult because we all know talking underwater is even more tricky. That's actually Dr. Doolittle 2.
That's, didn't end well.
That's actually how you learn that particular skill. It takes 82 years, though, to learn.
But, Samara, I do love, because you see these kind of stories pop up every now and again of kind of people having library books and not realising them and kind of them getting returned 57-odd, but however many years later, 82 years overdue in this case.
Yep.
And I love them for two reasons.
Okay.
Number one, the late fee.
Oh, yeah.
82 years overdue. How much do you reckon it's going to be?
Most of the time, they do cap it after the first 10 years. They're like, this isn't coming back. We'll just charge them the book.
Most, yeah, they do sort of give up. But,
did I tell you I had this the other day? I had I went back to my childhood library. Mm-hmm. Tried to get some printing done when I was away on holidays.
Yeah.
And they're like, do you have this book? It was taken out in 2008. So I'm like, no.
Oh, so did you have to pay a late fee for it?
No, they just waived it because, you know.
Libraries really have got to work to be kind of stronger on getting the money. It's business. If you're just letting that go, then it's kind of, come on.
No, it was one of those situations where I knew the manager.
She
just kind of waived it.
Okay, well, assuming that you didn't know the manager of this, 82 years you've had this copy of Dr. Doolittle.
Yep.
Late fee, give us a guess. What do you reckon?
$110.
It's been out 82 years. It's going to be more than that.
Yeah, but they don't. Come on. Surely not. $110.
It's way more than that.
A grand?
It's $3,000.
Holy hell.
I thought it would have been more.
So the people returning it, were they the one that took the book out in the first place?
Yeah.
Oh, hell.
Well, I thought because $3,000 doesn't seem enough for me. I thought it would have been. You've had this thing for 18. It's 82 years overdue, Simo.
Yeah, Jordan, but it's still the book has a finite price.
I know it's a book, but it's like, who reads books nowadays?
Like, if you pulled a comic book from the one you took out at primary school and it's sitting around the home out the back of the couch, and you pull it out and then you realise that it's been overdue for 20 years, there's no way you're returning that.
Oh, no, yeah, God, no chance.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so $3,000 was the late fee that would have been charged.
Yeah, they waived it, right?
Although, yeah, they waived it as well.
Surely.
But, Simo, I said I love these stories for two reasons.
Second reason?
The first one is obviously the late fee. The second one, just imagine the phone call of the person who had reserved that book next and had been waiting for 82 years.
That's right, yeah.
For the book to be returned. It's like, hello, Mrs. Mary Johnson. Yes, good news. Dr. Doolittle has returned, so you can come and pick it up whenever you want.
I've already seen the movie. I know how it ends.
I've seen all of them. I've seen Robert Downey Jr. do a weird Welsh accent.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah. That should do it.